Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Well, good evening, Amazing Grace Facebook and YouTube family. It's such a great joy and an honor to come into your living rooms once again. My name is Fee Sullivan, pastor of Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, and I hope you had a wonderful evening so far. And I hope this message will bless you and build you up in your most holy faith. And just one quick announcement, I want to thank and praise God for the healing room ministry that's taking place at Amazing Grace. It's headed up by Brother Angel Hernandez, Sister Tammy Hernandez, wonderful people, servants of God. I also want to give a great big shout out to all the servants who serve in the healing rooms. Like, for instance, Sister Louisa Fallo, Sister Catherine Brady, Sister Jessica Mahan, Sister Yolanda Sullivan, Sister Araceli Valencia, Sister Carla Venegas, and Brother Art Sesma. They're doing such a tremendous job, and I'm so very, very thankful to God for them. Praise God. Praise God. We're having such a blessed time. We're hearing some wonderful praise reports. I got my word last week, and it was spot on. And God is the healer. Amen. God is the healer. And so I'm excited. I'm excited for what God is doing in the midst of his people. And also one last announcement, Sister Kedma Wentz will be coming down from Riverside to be with us in our worship Sunday morning at 10 a.m. She'll be teaming up with the Amazing Grace team. And when her and Sister Leah get together, man, I tell you, it's a powerhouse. It's a blessing. So we're looking forward to seeing our beautiful sister come on down and worship the Lord with us at Amazing Grace. And so with all that said, please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we glorify you and magnify you. Lord, we're asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 16 through 21. This is another expository teaching where we teach strictly from the Word of God. We go book to book. We go chapter to chapter. We go line by line, precept upon precept. And I was taught that way by my former pastor, Pastor Leo Joel Venetti at Mission Valley Christian Fellowship. And I'm so mighty thankful for him. Sunday mornings, we have just a topical teaching, but Wednesday night is where we dig in. We go a little deeper, amen? So let me adjust the screen for us, and then we'll get into our message. Here we go. I've entitled this evening's message, Sins of the Flesh. Sins of the Flesh. So are you there at Galatians chapter 5? Let's start reading verses 16 through 21, and here we go. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Praise God. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, wow, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. Verse 21, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow. Wow, my friends. Listen, before we break down, starting with verse 16, I'm praying that those of you who could be watching right now that are maybe caught up in this type of lifestyle regarding the works of the flesh, there's liberty for you today. You can be set free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. So let's go back to our word and break down verse 16. And it goes, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not what? Fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so we want to take a look first and foremost regarding the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. You see, my friends, God sent the Holy Spirit to be with and within us as followers of Christ who had returned back to heaven. Oh, yes. It's explained perfectly in the book of John, chapter 14. Let's go there right now. And let's look regarding the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And it reads, John 14, 25, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, who's the Helper? The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father. For my Father is greater than I. Verse 29 through 31. And it reads, and now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise and let us go from here. Praise God, praise God, praise God. You see, my friends, the phrase conveys the meaning of the literal translation, by the Spirit, keep on walking. Walking means living. In this context, and it emphasizes, saints of God, the moment-by-moment contact and guidance by the Holy Spirit for daily decisions and activities. You see, my friends, living according to the Spirit should be a daily continuous action by Christians. You see, He's always present, but we must be in touch with Him. Can I get an amen? And stay open to His guidance and correction. Praise God. You see, my friends, because the result, you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Oh, yes, it craves. It craves the opposite of what God craves. Oh, yes, it does. And when we become believers, saints of God, our sinful nature still exists. But God asks each and every one of us. What does He ask? To place our sinful nature under the control of the Holy Spirit, that He can transform it. You see, my friends, this is a supernatural process, and we must never underestimate the power of our sinful nature, and we must never attempt to fight it in our own strength. Why? Because we will lose that battle if we give way to it. Oh, yes, it will. You see, my friends, Satan is a crafty tempter. And we have a limitless ability to make excuses, all kinds of them. And instead of trying to overcome sin by our own willpower, we must take advantage of the tremendous power of Christ. Can I get an amen, saints of God? You see, my friends, God provides for victory over our sinful nature. Oh, yes, He does. And He sends the Holy Spirit to live in us and give us power. But our ability to restrain the desires of the sinful nature depends, saints of God, on how much we're willing to live according to the Holy Spirit. You see, my friends, for each believer, this daily process requires moment-by-moment decisions. Oh, that's right. That's right. Praise God. Praise God. So now, let's go to verse 17 here. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Wow. Wow. Did you catch that? Did you catch that, my friends? You see, while believers live in this world, they face constant tension between their old sinful nature and what the Holy Spirit wants. You see, my friends, we must not infer from Paul's words that our personality has two selves. No. And nor that we have two equal and opposite forces struggling against control. You see, my friends, in Christ, say that with me at home, in Christ and in the Holy Spirit, we have a victorious resurrection life. The Holy Spirit in us guarantees our future, total redemption and change. We're not always going to be living in this body of flesh. There's a change coming. I'm hoping it's this Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, where in the twinkling of an eye, we'll be changed and we will be like Him. Praise God. How many want that? Amen. You see, my friends, though we have new life in Christ, we still have a mind and body prone. Hear me clearly, saints of God, prone to rebel and enticed by sinful desires. We must resist those desires. Praise God. Look what Paul wrote to the Roman church here. Because Paul had a struggle with this, just like you and I do. Look at this. For I know that in me, Romans 7, 18 through 21, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Wow. Wow. Look at this. It's not a... Man, he's struggling. He's writing this down for us, but he's struggling, even in his own flesh, saints of God. Look at this in verse 20 and 21. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Are you catching this, saints of God? And it goes on to say, I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. Wow. Did you catch that? You see, saints, we often experience resistance when we follow the Spirit's leading. Satan serves as a persistent teacher of rebellion. And humanity has had centuries of practice. You see, my friends, whatever path we choose, we will hear the whispers of opposition. Why? Because our choices are never free from this conflict. Never until we are changed and we are like Christ. And whenever we set out to do, the Holy Spirit instructs. Praise God. And we can expect our sinful nature to flare up in opposition. Oh, that's right. When we decide to share the gospel, our sinful human nature will make us feel very foolish at times. But this is where you have to rise up in faith. And this is where you have to bind the enemy. You have to rebuke Satan. You have to put this flesh into subjection. Can I get an amen? You see, my friends, when we decide to commit ourselves to some service, evil desires hinder us, trying to thwart the leading of the Spirit. And conversely, saints of God, each time we follow our sinful human nature, we will receive through our consciousness God's word or even other believers' reminders not to follow those sinful desires. Praise God. Praise God. You see, true believers, saints of God, realize the deadly power of sin. No longer their masters, their master, which was Satan at one time, will have his way. But sin now attacks like a powerful enemy, more so than ever. You see, before we were saved, saints of God, we had no clue regarding this sinful nature. We just all had a Burger King life, having it our way. But then when we got saved, God gave us a mind to be saved, a heart to repent. He changed us from the inside out. Now we understand there's a war at hand. There's a war within our flesh, and there's wars against the Spirit of God. You see, my friends, these two forces within constantly fighting each other. sinful desires still pop up like guerrilla forces attacking us when we least expect it. Oh, that's right, saints of God. So let's move on to our next verse, verse 18 in Galatians chapter 5. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Praise God. See, God always makes a way out, saints of God. You see, freedom from the law does not imply freedom to do whatever we please. Oh, that's right. Neither do we live in the Spirit in some sort of middle ground. That's not the case. Instead, saints of God, we live on another plane altogether. That's right. We have truth as opposed to falsehood. We have grace as opposed to works. And we act out our love as opposed to being subject to the law. Praise God. You see, saints of God, we are supervised by the Spirit of God as opposed to being supervised by the law. Praise God. Praise God. So I need clarity that you will have this evening to understand what's at work. So let's move on now to verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. My goodness, my goodness. Look at this. In verse 21, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past. Look at this, saints of God, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow. Wow. This is a staunch warning. Staunch warning, my friends, that if you find yourself reverting back to the old sinful nature, put it in check, saints of God. Bind it, rebuke it. Take control through the power of the Holy Spirit over this body. Subject it, like Paul said, I subject my flesh. Why? Because there's nothing good in this flesh. This flesh wants to have its own way. Sometimes it will operate through autopilot if you don't put it in check. You see, my friends, Paul contrasted the desires of the sinful nature and the works of the Spirit-filled life. Paul lists of sins falls into four categories. I need you to hear this. These particular sins were especially prevalent in the pagan world during the times of Galatians, and they have readily understood them. With few exceptions, saints of God, we recognize these sins as present in our own time as well. In the first category, three sexual sins are mentioned. Let's look at this for a moment. Let's go here. Number one, sexual immorality. And what does that mean? Any form of illicit sexual relationship. The term serves to spotlight forbidden sexual behavior between people or indirect participation as an audience. Wow. Even observing sexual immorality is considered a sin to God. Wow, saints of God. Woo! Let's move on to number two. Look at this. Impure thoughts. These are things that we struggle with, saints of God. But God always gives us an answer. He gives us a remedy. But look at this. Impure thoughts. Moral uncleanness. Perhaps no sexual act has taken place, but the person exhibits a crudeness or insensitivity in sexual matters that offends others. Oh, that's right. I've been around folks like that. You know, they give you a little hint of sexual innuendos. And really, they're probing to see where you're at, to see if you'll align with them. That's what predators do. You see, my friends, an example today would be the excessive use of sexual humor, or what is supposed to be humor, where people make statements with a sexual double meaning. Let's look at the third one right up here. Look at this. Eagerness for lustful pleasure. Open and excessive indulgence in sexual sins. The person has no sense of shame or restraint. This is the outworking of sexual immorality and purity. Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right, my friends. It's all over the place now. You know, you've heard me teach on this already a couple of weeks ago, but there's a massive problem. There's a massive problem. Oh, that's right. And we need saints of God to be praying. Why? Because there's an onslaught attack on the church. Oh, yes, there is. Oh, yes, there is. And that these types of sins have basically, saints of God, penetrated the church, infiltrated. They're in the church now. And so, my friends, we need to look at these next two sins. They're religious sins, particular in pagan culture. But let's go there. Look at this. Number one, idolatry, worship of pagan idols. A person creates substitutes for God and then treats them as they were God. This person is given in to sinful human desires. Oh, that's right, my friends. And I truly believe that these pagan idols are here today. Go to these foreign countries and you'll know what I'm talking about. Number two, let's look at this. Participation in demonic activities. Wow. Involvement with the powers of evil. At times using potions and poisons. With idolatry, a person acts in a submissive role in relation to evil. My goodness. With demonic activity, the person is an evil active agent who serves the powers of evil. Did you know that there are evil people that come to church as well? Oh, that's right. Witches, warlocks, those who involve in Santeria, they go to the church to try to cast spells. They try to go into the leadership and cause it to stumble and to fumble and to fall. My friends, we need to be prayed up. Why? Because Satan knows that his days are numbered. And we need to be about our Father's business. We need to pray every time we step into the house of God that God will give us spiritual discernment, that God would quicken us, that God would give us an insight what kind of spirit has entered in and what kind of spirit is at work. And God will show us. Why? Because God watches over his church. Can I get an amen? And so, saints, the next eight sins pertain to conduct toward people, interpersonal relations that have been motivated by sinful desires. It's sad to note, but many of these social sins are often seen in our church today. Wow, let's go here, saints of God. Let's break this down. Number one, hostility. A condition of fixed enmity between groups. This may be real unresolved conflicts has been forgotten, but which has yielded a harvest of bitterness. Wow. I've seen people at work doing this. They'll cause dissension. They'll cause division. They'll slander people. And let me just say this. If someone ever comes to you and starts to downplay and talk about people in leadership, the pastor, the worship, whatever the case may be, stop them in their tracks. And say, listen, if you have nothing good to say, say nothing at all. And then tell them, if you don't like what you hear or see, pray for them, that God would strengthen them. And maybe God will give them a paradigm change and turn their heart to do what's right. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. Look at this. Number two, quarreling, competition, rivalry, bitter conflict, the seeds and the natural fruit of hatred. Wow. Wow. And there's hatred in the church. There's people that hate people in the church and they leave to go to another church. Why? Because they can't stand to be next to someone that they hate. Let me just say this, and I'm going to say this with love. Those who leave because they hate someone in the church, God's going to deal harshly with them. Oh, yes, he will. And he's not going to let them get away. Because that same bitterness and hatred will be carried to the next church. And they will find someone no different who they will spew out that spirit that they're operating in. and cause another division or just chaos in the church. God will deal with that Jezebel spirit. And that's what it is, a Jezebel spirit. Let's move on to the next one. Number three, look at this. Jealousy, a feeling of resentment that someone else has what other feels or he or she deserves. Oh, that's right. There's people like that. Well, you know, I can do better than that. I know that I can preach better than that. Oh, I know I can sing better than that. You get that in the church. Look at number four. Outbursts of anger, selfish anger. The plural form conveys the meaning of continual and uncontrolled behavior. And it's in the church as well and outside of the church, and especially probably within your own family members. Look at number five. Look at this. Selfish ambition. The approach to life and work that tries to get ahead at other people's expense. Not only might this refer to what we call workaholism, it also implies a mercenary, aggressive attitude toward others in the pursuit of one's goal. Oh, yes, my friends. Oh, yes. There's folks like that. There's folks that want to climb and step on you to get to the top. My goodness, my goodness. Let's go to number six. Look at this. Number six. Divisions. Strong disagreements or quarrels. And the situation that can quickly develop between people when a disagreeable attitude prevails. Oh, yes. A very strong spirit right here that causes divisions. And let's go on to number seven. Look at this. The feeling that everyone is wrong except those in your own little group. Oh, that's right. Dissension created among people because of divisions. This describes the tendency to look for allies in conflict. The almost spontaneous generation of cliques demonstrates this characteristic of sinful human desires. Wow. I'm going to let you ponder on that one for a moment, because I've seen this spirit at work as well. Oh, yes. Every church has something similar to this, my friends. You know, you're not alone. It happens. Look at number eight. Envy. A desire to possess something awarded to or achieved by another. Or even the twisted logic that cries unfair about another circumstance stances and expresses the wish, if I can't have that, they shouldn't get it either. Wow. Oh, yes. Just like a child, just like a toddler or a fifth grader that has no maturity, that have no wisdom. And saints of God, finally, Paul lists three sins that were common back then and practiced today as well. And look at this. Let's look at this for a moment. Drunkenness. Excessive use of wine and strong drink. Oh, yeah, there's still wine bibbers in the church. Oh, that's right. And they'll just take it to the head. What do I mean by that? Oh, they don't care. They'll just get drunk like a skunk. And no power of the Holy Spirit within them. And so they either go back to the world to get that high, because most of them have forsaken the Most High, which is God Almighty. Oh, that's right. And also, look at this. Number two, wild parties. Drunken, carousing parties, often filled with sexual promiscuity, were associated with festivals of pagan gods. The feasts in honor of Bacchus were particularly infamous for their immorality. Wow, that hasn't changed, saints of God. That's still around today. Oh, yes. There's parties left and right. And they get drunk as a skunk, and basically anything goes. Now, God has delivered us from most of these sins. But let me just say this. We're not immune to any of that. We can be enticed, and we can be tempted, and we can fall and find ourselves in these predicaments once again. But this is why we need to pray and fast. That's right. Lastly, look at this. Paul mentions another kinds of sins. Paul added an etc. to show that the list by no means was complete. In other words, our sinful nature is ongoing. Ongoing. You see, my friends, anyone living that sort of life refers to the lifestyle of people who habitually exhibit these characteristics. This does not mean that believers who lapse into of these sins will lose their salvation and their inheritance. No, but God will chastise his children severely if we do. And God will convict us and bring us back. God will leave the 99 to go get the one. Can I get an amen? Oh, that's right. Listen, if God has called you, and you know he's called you, and he has sealed you, and he has blessed you, and he has approved you, and appointed you, and anointed you, even if you have a moment and you lapse into one of these categories that we talked about, he will convict you. Oh, that's right. He won't condemn you. Satan will condemn you. But God will convict you to get back up and to repent and to turn to God and say, oh God, forgive me, for I have sinned. You see, I'd rather go that route than being punished by him as a father to his child, because he will chastise us. And sometimes going into the whooping shed with God is not a pretty place to be. Oh, I've been there many times, and I don't like it there. And then he says, okay, I hope you learned your lesson. Now go and continue to do what I've called you to do. Saints of God, I'm trying to help us in this Bible study, because these things that we're talking about are real. Real. And some of you can attest. Some of you can confirm that you have struggled in these areas. In one of these areas that we talked about, we all fall short of the glory of God, the Bible says. But I'm here to let you know that he that is greater than us, he that is greater in the world, is in you and I. Can I get an amen? Jesus lives within us. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You see, once God has called you and he has appointed you, anointed you, and approved you, the gates of hell cannot prevail. The plan will continue. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Yes, and God will strengthen you. God will raise you up once again, even if you have a lapse. Can I get an amen? Why? Because nothing will prevent the plan for your life to fail. God is a for sure God. And when God has called you, he will complete what he has started in you. Can I get an amen? You got to understand that he is our shield and our buckler. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Hallelujah. He's from everlasting to everlasting. Why? For he is God. And he is the Bishop and lover of our soul. And God, hallelujah, will not fail us. God will complete what he has started in us. You got to believe that, God. You got to believe that God will do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. Oh, yeah. Somebody give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Somebody got to give God glory right now on what he's doing in your life, and that how he has delivered us from these vices that we're looking at today. And even though we are tempted and sometimes we're drawn to these areas, we have the power and the grace and the mercy and the anointing to rebuke it and to say, no, I will not sin against my God. It has to come down to a relationship with him. If you love him, you'll say, oh God, no, I don't want to do this to offend you. Empower me, oh God. Strengthen me, oh God. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. Praise God. But saints, but people who habitually exhibit these characteristics reveal themselves to be enslaved to sinful human nature. And they are not children of God. Some are not. If they habitually continue. Yet they'll just say, praise the Lord. And maybe come to a Bible study or a Sunday morning service. But their life represents another thing. Pray for them. Pray for them that they get right to get right and real with God. You see, my friends, they cannot have any part in the inheritance in the kingdom of God as we just read. People have accepted Christ and have the Holy Spirit within them will manifest the new life by making a clean break with such sins as listed above that we just read. Saints of God, I'm here pleading with you. Take your walk with Christ seriously. Believe God that He's coming soon. And He's looking for hearts that are pure. He's looking for the mind and the heart that's made up that will serve Him without these things that we just read, that we would walk with convictions in our heart, that we would understand what offends the Lord. We would understand what pleases God. We need to come to a place where we please the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because He's coming back very soon. He may even come back on the Feast of Trumpets, which is Rosh Hashanah, at the end of this month. We're only looking at a couple of weeks. The 26th and the 27th of September is a two-day feast, the Feast of Trumpets. Many, many Messianic scholars believe it could be the rapture of the church and the beginning of the seven-year tribulation. Wow. Wow. If that's the case, I'm believing God's going to take His church out and the 7 years is going to be hell here on this earth, where all the bowls and the vials and the trumpets will be poured out on this world. There'll be wars. There'll be famines. There'll be suffering. There'll be bloodshed. My goodness. And they're going to look for a leader. And that's when the Antichrist will show up on the scene. The reason why the Antichrist hasn't showed up on the scene, because you and I, the church, the born-again church, the power of the Holy Spirit is still here on this earth. But when it's removed, then it's going to be chaos. And let me just say this. There will be a lot of people mourning and crying in desperation when the church is removed. A lot of them are going to be your family members, my family members, and then our acquaintances, and then our co-workers. Those who we preach to, those who we share the gospel with, those who have no desire to come to church. They know we go, and they say, yes, God bless you. I hope you have a good time. That's good for you. You found God. But it's going to be those who have no desire that will have to go through the tribulation. But there is hope for them still, according to the Word of God. But to be saved during the seven-year tribulation, the Bible's clear. They will have to be beheaded. Oh, I'd rather, listen to me carefully. I'd rather give my heart to Christ while we still can repent and cry out to God for mercy, that He would cause us to be born again through a heart of repentance, to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, to be filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. Option number two should never be an option for us. Oh, I'm just going to wait. If the church is gone, I'll give my heart to Christ then. No. The Antichrist will make it clear and known to all those who are Christ believers will be put to death unless you take the mark of the beast. Wow. Wow. Listen, don't wait for that time. Give your heart now. Why? Because Jesus is coming soon. Jesus said in Matthew 24, we would see all the signs. And saints of God, it's not about a timeline. It's about the sign line. Jesus said, when you see these things take place, look up, for your redemption draws near. And what are we seeing? Wars, rumors of wars. We're seeing famines. We're seeing pestilence. Our nation is about to take a radical market crash very soon. Why? Because we've exceeded far above inflation now, and it's headed to a crash. Oh, that's right. No different than 2008. I believe it's going to be even more severe. Saints of God, China and Russia and Iran and South America and Turkey, they're plotting against the United States now. They are nuked up. All of them are. And they could attack us in one day now. Saints of God, this is the real deal. Jesus said we would see these days. And let me just say this. The last days that Jesus is referring to started in 1948. That's right, when Israel became a nation. And now God is gathering them from all the corners of the world back to the land. You have to ask yourself this question. Why are they all going back to the land? Why is God pulling them, drawing them back to the land? One simple reason. So when Jesus returns, he wants them all there so they can see whom they pierced. Well, that's right. The majority of Israel don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. They're looking for a man to rise up from within their rabbinical ranks. But they're very wrong. They're very wrong. They couldn't be more wrong than any time before in the history of the world. They're looking for a man, and we know God is going to show up. And when he touches the Mount of Olives, according to Zechariah chapter 14, they're all going to weep and mourn and say to themselves, it was Yeshua, Jesus, whom we pierced. And he will be known to them. But the church will be with him. He's going to take us before the tribulation. Because right now, as I'm mentioning right now, the end time days have started when Israel became a nation in 1948. And then they captured Jerusalem in 67. And now Zion is built up. You went from a vast desert, a desolate place, to now a thriving metropolis. They've got cities like New York and Los Angeles throughout their little nation. It's thriving with business. It's thriving with agriculture. Jesus said that would happen right before he returns. And we are the terminal generation, the generation that will see him. And so, my friends, prepare your hearts. Prepare your hearts, because Jesus soon and very soon will appear, and we're almost out of here. Oh, that's right. Why? Because it's mentioned in the Word of God. It's mentioned. Look at this. Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church in chapter 4, 13 through 18. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. When that is referring to who sleep in Jesus, those who physically have died and are waiting now to be reunited with the brand new body, because their spirit and soul is with Jesus. Look at this. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain, that's you and I, until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will what? Rise first. Look at this. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Wow. Wow. It's about ready to take place. And it could be this Rosh Hashanah. It could be. I'm not setting dates, but I'm looking at the seasons and the times that we're in. And I truly believe we're closer than we've ever been to being taken from this earth to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, my friends, the next greatest event that the whole world is going to witness is when we are changed and we become like him. Why? Because God's going to change us He's going to change his body of flesh into a body that can just float away with him, fly away with him. You see, we cannot go into heaven with the flesh and blood, with these bones. No. These go back to the dust. God's going to give us a body like his. You got to remember, Jesus was the first prototype to rise on the third day. And God said, we're going to be like him. We're going to have a body just like his. And we're going to see him face to face. And we will know who he is face to face. And we're going to fall at his feet. We're going to love him and worship him. For he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But look what it says right here in the book of Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 54. It says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised what? Incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. There it is. Look at this. For this corruptible must what? Put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Aren't you so blessed? God has this all figured out. He has a plan in place. And he's looking for you and me to look up, for our redemption draws near. You know, I spoke to a bishop today in India, and I had to remind him that Jesus is coming back for those who are looking for his return. You know, we get caught up in ministry. We get caught up with the affairs and the cares of this world. And everyone loses sight that Jesus is going to return and take us home. This should be part of what's inside of us every day that we wake up. That we're looking for him. That this could be the day. And many messianic scholars believe that day will be on the Feast of Trumpets. And I am convinced. I don't know if it's this year. And if it's not this year, then God has given us another year to do ministry. And we need to be about our Father's business. But I'm telling you, saints of God, soon and very soon he's coming. Listen, if you are listening for the very first time and you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and all the things that I'm saying right now, you have repented of your sins, you've never been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, you've been putting it off, you've been avoiding, God's been calling you and you've been shaking it off like a fly on your ear. My friends, if that is you right now, what you're about to see, don't let this happen to you. Let's look at this.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come.
My friends, what you just saw is actually going to take place soon. And I hope you're not the ones that are left behind. But I have some good news. God always has remedy. God always has an answer. You don't have to be left behind like the depiction you just saw. But you could actually be part of the church that will be raptured out of here when Jesus takes his bride home. We are the bride of Christ. and we'll be with him for 7 years in the heavens and come back with him. And he will destroy all of his enemies, and he will set up the 1,000-year millennium reign. We will rule and reign with him on this earth. But you need to be part of that plan. Don't be left behind. And it's very simple. If you've never given your heart to Christ, a beautiful scripture that God has revealed to the church, found in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38 through 39, is one of the key components to crying out to God, to having God save you. Let's look at this scripture right here. It's found in Acts 2, 38 through 39. Luke, the apostle, wrote this in the book of Acts. And it reads, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins.'" That means forgiveness of sins. "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The gift of the Holy Spirit is eternal life. "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call." Wow. There it is. It's as simple as that, my friends. It's as simple as that. Listen, I'm here to let you know that God has a mighty plan for you. But you must receive him. You must repent of your sins. I'm going to ask right now, if you're watching, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray this prayer by faith and watch him do the miraculous in your life. Bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory. Listen, someone just got saved. And listen, down below, as you can see, that's our website. Log on. Reach out to us. We want to give you a Bible, pray with you, and point you to a good Bible teaching church that will teach the unadulterated Word of God. And also, my friends, I want to give another great big shout out to all those who continue to bless us here at Amazing Grace. For down below, as you can see, donations are deeply appreciated. And so I want to thank and praise each and every one of you that logged in tonight. I hope that you got something, you got some meat out of the study from the book of Galatians chapter 5 verses 16 through 21. And my message was the sins of the flesh. I look forward to next week, because next week we're going to look at the fruit of the Spirit, the opposite of this. And so on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, I want to leave you this benediction for this evening. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom, his peace, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. So, my friends, we love you. God bless you. We look forward to seeing you this Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at 5305 beautiful Bonita on Sweetwater Road. And just a reminder, Sister Kedma Wentz will be with us from Riverside, worshiping with the Amazing Grace family. Have a wonderful evening. God bless you, and we'll see you Sunday morning. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.